It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome to Quantum number 66. And this one's a little bit unusual because I think it's the furthest south I've ever been. And the furthest south, obviously, this has been recorded. I'm in Hobart and to the south of Hobart and near the lighthouse, after which it's Antarctica. Well, I don't think we're going to make it to Antarctica, but we're here to look at some very, very interesting developments, cultural developments, I think, within the world. But I want to begin with something just a little bit unusual and yet something that is incredibly important. One of you sent me a link to Gary Hogan, who runs an international justice group. He had a TED talk, which is absolutely fantastic. We've got a link for it. I'm going to let you listen to a fairly lengthy clip of it. This extraordinary story of a woman in America who, because of police cuts, was not able to get help. Now just listen to this story.
A woman in Oregon recently experienced what this would be like. She was home alone in her dark house on a Saturday night when a man started to tear his way into her home. This was her worst nightmare because this man had actually put her in the hospital from an assault just 2 weeks before. So terrified, she picks up that phone and does what any of us would do. She calls 911, but only to learn that because of budget cuts in her county, law enforcement wasn't available on the weekends. Listen.
I don't have anybody to send out there. Is there any way you can safely leave the residence?
No, I can't. Because he's locked me pretty much my only way out.
Well, the only thing I can do is give you some advice and call the sheriff's office tomorrow. Obviously, if he comes in and unfortunately has a weapon or is trying to cause you physical harm, that's a different story. The sheriff's office doesn't work up there. I don't have anybody to send.
Tragically, the woman inside that house was violently assaulted, choked, and raped. Because this is what it means to live outside the rule of law. And this is where billions of our poorest live. What does that look like? In Bolivia, for example, if a man sexually assaults a poor child, statistically, he's at greater risk of slipping in the shower and dying than he is of ever going to jail for that crime. In South Asia, if you enslave a poor person, you're at greater risk of being struck by lightning than ever being sent to jail for that crime. And so the epidemic of everyday violence, it just rages on. And it devastates our efforts to try to help billions of people out of their $2 a day hell. Because the data just doesn't lie. It turns out that you can give all manner of goods and services to the poor, but if you don't restrain the hands of the violent bullies from taking it all away, you're going to be very disappointed in the long-term impact of your efforts. So you would think that the disintegration of basic law enforcement in the developing world would be a huge priority for the global fight against poverty. But it's not.
Okay. Now, here's not the problem with that, but here's the big issue, and I think it's a really, really significant issue. And that is that it is the responsibility of government to provide protection for its citizens, to provide law and order. As the Bible puts it, the ruler bears the sword for a reason. And when governments don't do that, then in particular, it is the poor who suffer. And that's what's happened here. That's extraordinary that that woman could not be helped. This is a rich country, the United States, and yet that is what happened. Now, it's very sad. There's an example of this seen in Hogan's own team where three of their workers in Kenya were pronounced dead. you know, the injustice and the corruption in the world. I'm so thankful that we serve a God of justice. By the way, did you know this, that the largest employer on the continent of Africa is private security? And there you've got it. The rich can pay for security. The rich can live in their gated communities. But it is the responsibility of any decent government to ensure that its citizens are protected. There should be no no-go areas for the police, and the police should have as much concern for the poor as they do for the wealthy. And our security should not be left up to private security companies. Now, another area where government are involved is, of course, education. And I want to spend just a major section of this quantum looking at some of the madness in education. Now, here's a story from the United Kingdom that ties in with also the stories we've been looking at in Hong Kong. So the story is that students from Hong Kong were ordered to take down a display about the democracy protests at Freshers for Air after mainland Chinese students complained they were offensive. The campus security at the University of York said that displays should not contain politics. Unfortunately for the campus security, there were political parties and campaign groups who had stands, so that doesn't really make much sense. There have been trouble also at Manchester and at Exeter universities, and here's the problem. There are 107,000 Chinese students who pay fees of up to $40,000 a year, and that's a very lucrative revenue stream for the universities. And our universities are just becoming big business. There are only 16,000 from Hong Kong. So, of course, that's where they're going to go, and that's what they're going to do. Now, let's stick with this theme of universities. And, you know, we talk about Chinese influence. And people talk about Russian interference in the American political system. But what about Muslim, particularly United Arab Emirates and the Qatar countries and Dubai? What about their influence and Saudi influence in the American system? So, for example, since 2012, Qatar has donated $376 million to Carnegie Mellon University, $351 million to Georgetown, $340 million to Northwestern University, $275 million to Texas A&M, $41 million to Virginia Commonwealth University. Saudi Arabia has donated $75 million to George Washington University, $31 million to Harvard, and so on. Kuwait, Iraq, Turkey, Pakistan, Syria, and Lebanon, and all have done that. Now, American universities have not turned this down. Rudy Giuliani turned down $10 million from the Saudis after 9/11. But the academics seem quite happy to take the money. This is a very dangerous way to go, because they set up schools for academic studies or for Quranic studies or Islamic studies, and they don't allow anyone to disagree or to question. And the question then becomes, is this about education or is it about propaganda? I have my doubts. But the American education system is in deep trouble. Here's an extraordinary story that comes out of Seattle. I just think this is just absolutely unbelievable. Seattle public schools will start teaching that maths is oppressive. Now, those of us who didn't like maths at school, we may be very happy to agree with that. But instead, what this is, a new ethnic studies curriculum will teach students that ancient mathematical knowledge has been appropriated by Western culture. There's got to be a new social justice infused curriculum that focuses on power and oppression within maths. It's just, it really is truly unbelievable. Now, it reminded me of this. This is an old one from South Africa, but it really is quite incredible. Just listen to the first 30 seconds of a discussion about science and Africa.
So can I respond to your submissions? Because I wanted to directly respond. I was actually thinking about this coming here because I thought that it was going to be one of the coming questions. How do we even start to decolonize science? Because science is true because it is science. And, you know, what can you do? And my response to that was, if I personally were committed to enforcing decolonization, science as a whole is a product of Western modernity, and the whole thing should be scratched off, especially in Africa. So if you want practical solutions to how to decolonize science, we'd have to restart science from, I don't know, an African perspective, from our perspective of how we've experienced science. For instance, I had a question.
And there is a lady actually saying that science is a concept of Western modernity. She later goes on to discuss Newton and say, why should we go by Newton's theory? In effect, because he was a white man. We need to decolonize science. That's where you go. It's so ironic that people accuse Christians of being anti-science, and the anti-science has come from the progressives. But let's come over to the United Kingdom and the madness that's going on here. Oxford University Students' Union has voted to replace triggering clapping with jazz hands. Now, what that means is you're not allowed to clap. You know, clap, 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 clap. No, no, not anymore, because that triggers some people. So instead, you have to use jazz hands or a silent wave. Oh, dear. Yep. Now, forgive me for being just a little bit logical, but I think that's discriminatory, because what about students who are blind? They won't get to see any appreciation or hear any appreciation. Well, the Oxford University students just want to follow what others are doing, because inclusivity is one of the student union's founding principles. Ah, dear me. Do you know what? We need a wee break, and it gives me an excuse to play a little bit of this from Disturbed singing Simon and Garfunkel's The Sound of Silence. Enjoy.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping.
Oxford, Cambridge have got their own academic crises as well. Professor David Runciman says ageing population is creating a democratic crisis. He's the head of politics at Cambridge University, and he has called for children as young as six to be given the vote in an attempt to tackle the age bias in modern democracy. The Labour Party and the SNP, and I think the Lib Dems, want to decrease the voting age to 16. But Professor Runciman, who is apparently employed at the University of Cambridge, he wants to reduce it to six because he says it would make elections more fun and reduce the democratic deficit. Well, there's a deficit there, but I better not say what kind it is. Okay, let's move on. I've got two other just fascinating clips that, again, I think this is a podcast. We use clips a lot in terms of news, but these are just ideas that I think are really fascinating. And here's one that I came across from David Bowie talking about the internet. Listen to this.
I think the potential of what the internet is going to do to society, both good and bad, is unimaginable. I think we're actually on the cusp of something exhilarating and terrifying.
It's just a tool, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. No. No, it's an alien life form.
What do you think, I mean, when you think then about
the future... Is there life on Mars? Yes, it's just landed here.
But that's, yeah. It's a simply a different delivery system there. You're arguing about something more profound.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about the actual context and the state of content is going to be so different to anything that we can really envisage at the moment, where the interplay between the user and the provider will be so in simpatico. It's going to crush our ideas of what mediums are all about.
Now, isn't Bowie right in talking about how the internet was going to change everything, not just because of what it communicates, but how it communicates? It's the 50th birthday of the internet, and my minister, Simon Manchester, had a lovely letter in the Sydney Morning Herald where he, very short and succinct, said it's the 50th birthday of the internet. Do we need any more proof that the world needs a saviour? That was a great way of putting it. And here's something else for you to listen to. Listen to President Obama making a tremendous point about wokeness. I'm not going to make any other comment on it, just simply to say that I think Obama is spot on in this instance.
This idea of purity and you're never compromised and you're always politically woke and all that stuff, you should get over that quickly. The world is messy. There are ambiguities. People who do really good stuff have flaws. People who you are fighting may love their kids. And, you know, share certain things with you. And I think that one danger I see among young people, particularly on college campuses, Malia and I talk about this. Yara goes to school with my daughter. But I do get a sense sometimes now among certain young people, and this is accelerated by social media, there is this sense sometimes of the way of me making change is to be as judgmental as possible about other people. And that's enough. Like if I tweet or hashtag about how you didn't do something right or used the word wrong verb, or then I can sit back and feel pretty good about myself. Because, man, you see how woke I was? I called you out. Let me get on TV. Watch my show. Watch Grownish. That's not activism. That's not bringing about change. You know, if all you're doing is casting stones, you're probably not going to get that far. That's easy to do.
Okay, I'm sorry to take you away from the sensible comments of President Obama and to bring you back to the world of current British politics. And here, the extraordinary possibility that Dawn Butler, the Labour MP and the Shadow Secretary for Women and Equalities, might actually, after the election, have some power. There's the remarkable headline, Gay Giraffe Row Splits Upper Ranks of Labour Party, after MP Dawn Butler is ridiculed by senior advisers for suggesting 99% of giraffes are sexually attracted to their own gender. It's complete nonsense, but the fact that she says it and uses it as an argument and it causes splits is just remarkable. But you think that's bad, you wait till you come to the Scottish Government, because they have got an absolute cracker coming out. What is it? It's the new census, which is going to be in 2021. It's going to ask questions about sexual orientation. It will ask if people are straight or heterosexual, gay or lesbian or bisexual, but also give a box for other sexual orientations. And if you click on that box, you can identify your sexual orientation with a predictive text list of 16 suggestions, including scoliosexual, gynophilic, demiromantic, and unsure. I really, really do not know. Gay giraffes and people in Scotland being asked if they're scoliophilic, whatever that is. That's just remarkable. Do you know this? I almost don't have the time or the willingness to mention these other things, but I will mention them. Let's just show you again this, how the madness of crowds is continuing. The story of the 6 foot five inch male who won a girls' running race being named Woman of the Week. Do you want to know about that one? No, probably not. Or the Chick-fil-A in McDonald Aviemore and how Patrick Harvey saying MPs should not frequent McDonald hotels because of this. You know this, I actually met Mr. Harvey in a McDonald hotel. I don't think I would accuse him of hypocrisy. I wouldn't be too far away from it, mind you. But what's this about Chick-fil-A? We've mentioned this already. Do you know that the Oracle Center is 50% owned by the United Arab Emirates? Homosexuality is illegal and punishable in statute law by death in the United Arab Emirates. So we've got LGBT groups appealing to a center which is owned by a government which executes or at least imprisons homosexuals in order to ban a Christian chicken chain who are against same-sex marriage, or whose owner once said he was against same-sex marriage. Oh, that's almost as daft as here in Australia, all Queensland children are to be taught that they're not born male or female, that that's something that's assigned to them at birth, and that they can change it. I have yet to meet anybody, any midwife, any doctor, any parent, who's been at a birth where the midwife or the doctor said, do you know this? We've got enough girls in this hospital just now, so we're going to make this one a boy, as though it had absolutely nothing to do with biology. Okay, now to something that just makes me smile and makes me laugh and is just so joyful. Listen to this.
Jesus, walk. Jesus, walk. Jesus, walk with me, with me, with me.
To the hustlers, killers, murderers, drug dealers, even the strippers.
Jesus walks with them.
To the victims of welfare, for we living in hell here, hell yeah.
Jesus walks with them.
Now hear he wanna see thee more clearly. I know he hear me when my feet get weary, cause we're the almost nearly extinct. We rappers as role models, we rap, we don't think. I ain't here to argue about his facial features. We're here to turn atheists into believers. I'm just trying to say the way school need teasers, the way Catholic needed freezers. That's the way I need Jesus. So here go my single dog, radio neesers. They say you can rap about anything except for Jesus. That means guns, sex, lies, videotape. But if I talk about God, my record won't get played. Well, if this take away from my spins, which will probably take away from my ends, I know it take away from my sins. Bring the day that we dream about. Next time we on a plane, everybody screaming out.
Jesus, walk.
God, show me the way, because the devil tried to break me down.
Now that is Kanye West, obviously, for those of you who know your music, with his gospel choir. It's a marvelous 19-minute in total clip. James Corden, who does his carpool, except it's not a carpool this time, it is an airplane pool where he takes Kanye West's airplane with a choir. It's a kind of jet, you know, the 100 plus people in it, and it's just quite marvelous singing. I just find it all quite amusing. And why it makes me laugh is this. Now, I'm not holding up Kanye West. I've put several articles on the website, several links to articles reviewing his album, talking about his Sunday service and his interviews and conversions and so on. And I'd recommend reading them. I don't think it's right for me as a Christian pastor to pronounce on someone else's salvation. There's many things. I don't think a new convert should be doing their own Sunday service. But I tell you this, it just makes me smile so much that Jesus is king because of Kanye is on the Times Square buildings, or that people, even when they're writing criticizing, have the hashtag Jesus is king, or this just incredible joyful choir, or the interviews that I've seen with him so far have been absolutely marvelous as well. So, do you know, pray for Kanye and the opportunities that come. You know, maybe God's taken his messed up life and turned it around. And I hope and pray, yeah, he's a Christian. He'll stumble and fall like the rest of us. But I hope and pray that the Lord will bless him. Please do remember to support Quantum. You can do that in the usual way. Just go to the Podbean. Well, I have a couple of quotes for you, actually. One is from Simon Manchester that I heard on Sunday. Some forms of stupidity require a very high IQ. I guess that's what I would, how I would summarize atheism. And then Gore Vidal, the US economic system is free enterprise for the poor and socialism for the rich. I think that's a pretty good summary of what's wrong in much of Western society today, where the poor are left to suffer and the rich get bailed out by the government. I hope that's wrong. But I have a sneaking suspicion that it's true. But anyway, let me leave you with that. God bless you, and let me leave you with Kanye West.
When you go to sleep, would you agree that you are asleep when you are asleep? And when you wake up, would you agree that you are awake when you are awake?
Yeah.
Would you agree that, those are two different states? People who don't believe are walking dead. They are asleep, and this is the awakening.
That's it, we're down. Woo!